The following message was recorded by James Barron at the Grace Conference in Orlando, Florida, on Saturday, 29th of November, 2014.
Really good to be here. Thank you. I'm not used to sitting down. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Krista. Probably won't be sitting down long. No. So good to see everybody. Great to see saints gathering together. Barbara, good to see you. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that we would be able to see even more what you're showing us about your awesome kingdom. Father, open our eyes to see the reality that your Son brought to earth, a new world, a new reality in the Spirit, the glad news of the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven does not come like men think. It shall come within us by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us see, Lord, help us see these awesome things that Jesus has brought to us by his own death and resurrection. I pray, Father, I would speak as the oracles of God with the authority of Jesus himself, as your servant and as your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the awesome reality of your love. Open our eyes, Lord, to see things maybe we've never seen before. Open our eyes to what is now. Comfort those who need comforting. Bring peace to those who need peace. From your realm, do what only you can do. May your signs and your wonders confirm the word of your grace in ways we cannot explain. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I think what I want—I was thinking, you know, what thoughts to share with the gathering today and with this awesome Grace conference. I love Grace conferences. I wish there was a Grace conference every weekend somewhere that we could all go to, just to encourage each other in the faith. But I wanted to share some thoughts about. I think it would be helpful to share some thoughts about what Jesus meant when he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." It's something we all know, that verse, we all can quote it, but there's so much deep meaning in that verse that it needs to be really pondered. Notice he didn't say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is part flesh and part spirit. It's very important. He didn't say that now I've infused, or God will infuse you with his Spirit, and you'll now be flesh and spirit. He said that which is born of the flesh is all flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, it's all spirit. To me, one of the things that has really helped me in my life, how to walk out this grace, how to live this life of grace, is to understand this dichotomy of flesh and spirit, and to really grasp this revelation that what God has done in Christ in literally putting an end to the human race as we know it from Adam, and having raised a new race, not of Adam and not of earth, but from above. All things we have heard, but do we really see these things to where it impacts the way we think and walk and act? In other words, the scripture says, Jesus said that you are no longer from below. That's from Adam. We are no longer from below, but we are now from above. That which is born of the Spirit, the Spirit. Paul said that our mother, our origin now, is Jerusalem above. We all have a hometown. We all can say, this is my hometown. I was born in Alexandria, Louisiana. I was raised in Pineville, Louisiana, population 6,000 people, across the river from Alexandria, Louisiana. But I was born in Alexandria because there were no hospitals in Pineville. So I was born on the Red River in Alexandria, and that's my hometown after the flesh, in the natural. But that is the day I was born of the Spirit that ceased to become my hometown. Now my hometown is New Jerusalem above, my mother. That's where I'm from. And guess what? All of us who are born of His Spirit have the same hometown. No matter where we were born on the earth, we were all born from above.
That's a direct quote from chapter 4. We didn't get there. That's Galatians 4. We didn't quite get there. We're close.
Galatians.
Thank you. I was going to say.
Cool. To me, that's just fascinating. I mean, just to ponder that reality that we are really not from below anymore. We are literally born from above. And because we are not from here anymore, then we have different parents. So even though we have natural parents after the flesh, now after the Spirit, God is really our daddy. God is my daddy. So just pondering these things, it's just amazing. Now this is, I say this, I think this is so important because this is what I believe. In essence, this is what I believe the message of the kingdom of heaven is. I've had many people ask me, and people have said their definitions of what the kingdom of heaven is and so forth. The kingdom of heaven, I believe God has shown me, the kingdom of heaven is first and foremost, a realm. It's a realm. Like the country of the United States, the kingdom of the United States. It's a realm. It's a territory. It's a realm. So first of all, think about that. It's a realm. The kingdom of heaven is a realm. And it is a realm that we call heaven. If you want to... It's the realm of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the realm of heaven. And the good news that came to earth when Jesus came, the good news of the kingdom of heaven is that He was coming to terminate the human race as we know it. He was coming to bring another realm into this earth. And God showed me this way. It's a parallel reality that's here now. A parallel reality that you cannot see with your natural eyes. And Jesus said, You cannot see it or understand it unless you're born of the Spirit. Unless you are born of the Spirit, he said, unless you are born again, you cannot see this kingdom of heaven. But if you're born of the Spirit, you can begin to see it. And I don't mean see it in visions necessarily, although visions are part of the work of the Spirit to teach us these things of the unseen reality. But I'm talking about understanding more than seeing with eyes. A revelation that's so deep inside of you that you really, really know that you're no longer from here. And you really, really know that you walk in a different realm here. Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven does not come like men think. So if you line up all men's definitions of what the kingdom of heaven is, I could put underneath that, it doesn't come like men think. Because many of their definitions have to do with, you know, the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom, so there must be a king, and God is sovereign, and it's his rule on earth. It's God, you know, putting Christians in politics and the kingdom coming in our schools and our churches. And, you know, that's not it. That's not it. There's fruit that happens when the Spirit of God moves through those who live in this realm, affect this earth. Yes. Things are changed in politics and schools and families. The fruit of this kingdom does cause change, but that is not the kingdom. The kingdom is a different reality. Jesus said that I am the door, and he who comes through me shall find pasture in another reality. He said, I have shut the door that no man can open now, and I have opened a door that no man can shut. He shut a door that was placed on earth through the old covenant behind that thick veil where man could go once a year and see God. He shut that door. He tore that veil in half and opened another door himself. Hebrews 10:20 says that the veil in the temple was actually a picture of the flesh of Jesus. Awesome, awesome truth. The veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place in the temple, Hebrews 10:20 says, that veil is a picture of the body of the Son of God. That's why when he died on the cross, the veil was rent in two. The very moment he died, it rent. What God has done is that he has removed flesh. He has removed the barrier that kept you and I from open access to God. Wouldn't it be great if you could walk the earth and have 100% fellowship with God, 100% access to God with no barrier whatsoever? That is the glad news of the kingdom of heaven. That's what you have. We can come boldly now to a throne of grace to find help and mercy in time of need. How can we do that? Because he has taken away the sin of the world. He has removed even the flesh. He has begun anew. He has opened a door that no man can shut. He has brought another reality in here. My Father and my Son, the Father and the Son shall make their abode in us by the gift of the Spirit. There's another reality. As the Son was one with the Father and the Father was one with the Son, even so now Jesus said, I am one with you and you are one with me. One. When he prayed that prayer in John 17, he wasn't praying for all the churches to get together. He wasn't praying for an ecumenical movement that they all might be one, as it is commonly taught in the church. There wasn't even a church yet. He wasn't anticipating division and praying for the division to come together. No. It's ridiculous. I mean, think about it. The church hadn't even been born yet, and Jesus is now praying. All right, I see in the future there's going to be a lot of denominations. So I'm going to pray right now here. Right now I'm going to pray before it happens that they all come together as one. No, he's not praying about that. In fact, he defines his own terms. He says, Father, as I am in you and you are in me, even so, Father, I pray that they would be one as you are in me and I am in you, I in them and they in me, one. That's the oneness he was talking about this way, not this way. When you get it this way, you automatically get it this way. Automatically. That's the genius of God. You get it this way right, this way is right automatically. It's like tuning an orchestra with the pitching, the tuning fork. You tune the orchestra to one tune and they're all in tune to play the music. It's the same way with God. This union has not been preached, not been taught, not been believed, not been seen. We have such... That's why Jesus said outlandish things to us. Like, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What? We are his sons and daughters as a gift. It is not because we deserve it. I love what Peter said when someone was healed in Peter's presence in the book of Acts, and they began to fall down and worship Peter and the apostles, and they said, "Get up, man, what are you doing? Do you think that by some holiness of my own, this man stands healed before you? This man is healed because of faith in Jesus himself, not because of us. Get up, man. God has come to us in his Son and has opened the door. If you can open your eyes and see, the kingdom of heaven is here. Heaven has come. Heaven has come to you." I love that scene in Jesus of Nazareth, the movie. My favorite movie is the Jesus of Nazareth with the English actor who has the accent, which I'm sure Jesus did not have. But it's my favorite movie. And I love where Jesus is in that movie. He's saying, they were asking him, you know, they're trying to explain what the law is all about. And they said, "Well, what are you saying? That the law is living? What are you saying?" And Jesus said, "This is what I'm saying. God is coming to you. Don't close the door in his face. God has come to us." Jesus said this, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" Hear the cry of the Son of God. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find those who believed that I really did it? That I really did it? That I really did it? That I really did remove sin? That I really did end the flesh once and for all? That I really did raise a new creation? That I really did translate them from the kingdom of this darkness through a door into the kingdom of the beloved Son, stepping through into another reality, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit within another reality. A fixed reality. A fixed reality, not based on how good I'm doing or how I feel or how the weather is, whether it's humid or nice and cool outside. A fixed reality of unbelievable treasure, unsearchable riches in Christ. For God is your shield now and your exceeding great reward, Abraham. And sons and daughters of Abraham can say the same thing. For God is my shield and my exceeding great reward because of what Jesus did, not because of anything I do. Because you simply believed. Did I not say, Jesus said, did I not say, if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God. The glory of God. What causes a man who's in prison like Paul to start singing hymns and praising and worshiping God? We see that from the flesh in a carnal way, and we say, that's the formula. That's it. If we praise God, God inhabits the praises of his people. There's the formula. We need to praise God. and then things will happen and miracles will happen. I mean, that's the formula. Look, there it is. No. Paul was not working a formula. Paul was in another world. What did Paul mean when he said, I have been crucified to this world and the world has been crucified to me? What did Paul mean when he said, why do you go about with rules, touch not and taste not, as if you're still living in this world? Did you catch that? That's the mindset of an apostle. The mindset of an apostle is a revelation of a reality that has come to earth. The kingdom of heaven has come. Another reality. Joy unspeakable and full of glory right here within. In the world we shall have tribulation. In the world we shall have trouble, Jesus said. But you and I can be of good cheer, for you are not in the world anymore. You're not in this world. You are in Him, seated with Him in heavenly places. He has overcome all things, and so no matter what may battle you and batter you and hit you, you can rejoice and sing as if you're free in a prison, because you are not in that prison. Your body is, but you're not. It's a reality that made Festus, the Roman leader in Rome, tell Paul. When he heard these things, he said to Paul, 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 much learning has made you crazy. And Paul goes, oh no, Festus. Oh no, noble Festus. I'm not crazy. I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. Oh, Festus, I wish you would be just like me, except for these bonds. I don't want you to be with these on, but I want you to be just like me, Festus. I want you to see what I see. I saw him. I saw him, Festus. I saw him.
Yes.
You see it?
Yes.
I'll tell you, it's another reality. True Christianity is not reading the scriptures for principles to obey or to do or to apply principles to your life so you can have financial success or you can have a better family or you can have a nice life. True Christianity is a revelation of a portal that has opened up, a door that has opened up to His world called the kingdom of heaven. And that world comes within you to live and to break out to others.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. It is beyond description. It is, that's that verse, the verse that says the kingdom of heaven breaks forth upon the earth and the violent oppose it. That's exactly what happens when the kingdom of heaven, when this other realm breaks forth with your joy and your peace and you're praying for the sick and the healing that comes forth and the deliverance that comes forth and all these things that manifest, this unseen realm manifest in this seen realm, the religious oppose it with violence. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus and the apostles, and that's exactly what's happened in every generation, and that's exactly what's happening with us now. As we begin to let our roots go down deep into Jesus Himself and be built up in Him, we will, just like that song says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It really happens. I'm telling you, this is not theory. I live this. I live this. And I love it, and I'm loving it more and more, and I'm living it more and more as it gets bigger and bigger in me every day. It's awesome. The other day, I was going to the gym to work out, and this guy on his scooter was trying to get his scooter started. He was like, oh, he has a little helmet on. He's trying to get a scooter started. And I walk by him. And I, aware of who I am, aware of where I am, aware of what's inside this body, I just walked by him and I said, Father, help him. Boom! Started up. You know what? This doesn't even surprise me anymore. I'm telling you, saints, we have not because we ask not. We ask not because we see not. Because if you saw who you really were, If you saw who he is, if you saw what's inside that body, you would appear mad, like Paul. You'd be so excited. I mean, you would be, I'm telling you, none of these things that used to move me in life, pain, suffering, trouble, whatever it is, I really am beginning to see what Paul meant when he says, none of these things move me anymore. I do not count my life dear to myself. That's what happens. The more you bask yourself in this eternal realm, the more you let go of this world and this, and even your own life. I don't count my life dear to myself anymore, Paul said. As he uses me and my work is finished, I'm ready to go. To die is gain. But it's better to stay and help the saints, but to die is gain. To live is Christ. I tell you, it's like a virus in a computer. It begins to just... Jesus said one of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is that it works kind of like sin works. You know, sin has always been referred to in the scripture as leaven. Jesus takes the sin picture and says, the kingdom of heaven is like that. Yeah. It's like it does the same thing, except in a good way. If you take into your heart, your new heart, by the way, don't let anybody tell you you have an evil heart. Don't let anybody tell you as a believer that you need to work on your heart. Good luck with that. Only God can give you a new heart. And he did. Yes, we did have evil hearts before we were born again, before we received the regeneration, the resurrection power of God. We had evil hearts. But those who are born of the Spirit are no longer of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A new creation. Behold, all things have become new. So, in your new heart, where was I? What was I saying? Something about, I totally forgot my thought.
Leaven.
Oh, leaven. Yes, leaven. Thank you. Leaven. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. When you take into your new heart these thoughts, like right now, this, whether you realize it or not, you are being exposed to radiation, in a sense. You are being exposed to power right now. These are words coming from the Spirit of God. Truth is like radiation. It's affecting you whether you realize it or not. It's like laying out and getting a tan. You don't really see it happening until later. And you say, oh my gosh, that's happening right now. That's how it works. That's how it works. We speak. We believe, therefore we speak. And there's a transference of power. It's unexplainable. It's the way God made the worlds. He spoke worlds into being. Now he wants us to speak of his Son. Unknown power is being released right now in our hearts. So as you receive it, that's the key though, as you receive it, like leaven, it begins to multiply. And the revelation of, wow, I really have been translated into another reality. I really am in the Spirit all the time. We're not in the Spirit just when we were doing the right things. We're in the Spirit all the time. We are in Him. That they may be in me, Father, and I in them. I go to prepare a place for you that you may be where I am. He did it. He did it. In 3 days. In 3 days, he prepared a place for us. All who believe on him are placed in him. He is the Father's house. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, he said. Many, many dwelling places. He said, destroy this house and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Behold the mystery of Christ. Behold the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. Behold the meaning of the Feast of Dwelling Places. The final feast a celebration of union that has taken place for all who believe. God in man, for you have become the living stones of this living temple, a habitation of God by the Spirit, a fixed reality every day, every night, every day, every night, sunrise, sunset, children of two worlds. With your eyes, you see the sun rise. With your inner eyes, you see the sun rise from on high, who has visited us and has led our feet into the way of peace, to this door, which is Christ. This is the joy unspeakable and full of glory that the early saints had. A proclamation of complete forgiveness and reconciliation. A removal of the old heart. A new creation has come that we might be seen to be the sons of God. The whole earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God, that they might be manifested among us. We, proclaiming who our dad is, our father is, with all mercy and grace, that men might come to a change of mind and believe also. Romans 7 talks about how we were once joined to something. And, you know, he uses the analogy of marriage and so forth. And he says, we couldn't be joined to another until the first one died. The first one we were joined to died. Many teach that that means we were married to the law. That we were married to the law, and that we died so we can marry Christ. That's not what that's saying. It's not what the scriptures teaches. The law doesn't die. And we're not married to the law. In that passage, what we're married to is the flesh. We were married to the flesh. We were married to the Adamic race. We were in the flesh, married to it under the jurisdiction of the law. Because we were of the flesh. All those of the flesh are under the jurisdiction of the law. The only way to escape the jurisdiction of the law is to die and leave this planet. Leave it. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He provided a way for us to escape the realm of this world, the darkness, the law, all of that, the law that condemns, the evil one that uses the law to condemn. For make, think it not strange that Satan is able to appear as an angel of light and his ministers of righteousness, holding up the law of Moses. Do you know this, one of the secrets of Satan? You want to hear one of the secrets of Satan? One of the secrets of Satan is that Satan really wants you to try to obey God's commandments in order to be righteous. Satan wants people to try to keep God's commandments in order to be righteous. That is the secret of Satan. He loves religion. And as you know, the part that really is the catcher, the catch is that last phrase, in order to be righteous. See, Satan loves law. He loves doing good things. He loves promoting good things and law. His ministers are made ministers of righteousness because they push the law. They push obedience because they push a righteousness that is of the self, a self-righteousness, and not the gift of righteousness which comes only by faith in what Jesus did. So this whole thinking in this dark world of pushing obedience to commandments in order to be a good person is satanic. It's satanic. It's darkness. The thought that if I can keep God's commandments, I can be good enough, I can be righteous, God will love me more if I obey His commandments is satanic. That thinking is satanic. What is the right way to think? The right way to think is, if I will believe that Jesus kept all the laws, if I will believe that my Son of God, my Savior, the Son of God, kept all the laws for me, if I will believe that He took my place, that God, that Christ became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him, if I believe that, then that's heavenly thinking. That's heavenly thinking. And then from that place of rest, where I rest in a righteousness that I receive as a gift, for he who has received this abundant grace and the gift of righteousness, from that place of rest, there's the fruit of the Spirit, which is primarily love. And Paul says that love fulfills everything the law was trying to get you to do. So without trying to keep the law, you find yourself walking in this love, the love of God, which fulfills everything the law was trying to get us to do. But it's a fruit of His Spirit, and not my works. Not by my works of righteousness, Paul says, but by His work do I stand. Isn't that awesome? And so as I rest in this reality, and His love is manifested in me, and the fruit is manifested, then you find yourself looking just the way Jesus looked without trying to be like Him. Because Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me now. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, so that He actually lives His own life through us. Even though we stumble and fall, James says we all stumble in many ways as we're learning how to live by His life within. But that's why we have a throne of grace to go to in time of help, to get help in time of trouble and encouragement. Because I'm telling you, it's a fixed reality. That's why he told Peter, forgive your brother 70 times 7, Peter. Not just 7 times, 70 times 7, Peter. Because the issue is no longer a need for forgiveness. The issue is a need for seeing more of who we are in Him and who He is in us. Because He's taken care of the sin problem. There's the sin. We're not even under the law. And where there is no law, sin is not imputed, the Scripture says. Where there is no law, there's no transgression. So where you live is not even where you live now in this heavenly realm, there is no law. So we were married to the flesh, and through the death of Jesus, through the veil being a picture of the flesh of Jesus, which a picture of the flesh of all mankind, when He died, He released us from the flesh that we might be born from above and joined to another, even Christ who is raised from the dead, the Scripture says, that we might bear fruit unto God. Well, I'll just wrap it up here, I guess. There's so much to say. I wanted to say about the flesh and spirit. There's other things, of course, many things to say about that. But just want to encourage you to just let the Spirit continue to teach us about the flesh and the spirit, and realize that you are no longer of the flesh, but of the Spirit. That's who you are now. And because of that, a whole new reality is within you. That's why Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. Not as the world gives. I leave my joy with you. Paul says, the kingdom of heaven is within us by the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy. So it's all fits together. He's saying that the righteousness of Christ is ours. The peace of Christ is ours. The joy of Christ is ours. Right here. And what I do, saints, what I do when the world really comes at you, that's why Paul wrote Ephesians 6 all about, you know, when the evil day comes and you have trouble, don't forget who you are. He thought about the analogy of put on the armor of God. You know, he thought about that analogy because he saw the soldiers outside his prison at that time, and he said, that's a good analogy, I'll use that. But what he was simply saying was that don't forget who you are. Don't forget what God has done, that you're righteous, that you live in this truth. See, what is truth? See, truth, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Jesus said something so powerful. He said, for this purpose I have come into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. Pretty powerful statement. For this purpose I've come into the world, to declare the truth. And that's when Pilate said, what is truth? In the Greek, the word truth means reality. The reality. When the scripture says, they who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, it does not mean, as many preachers preach, that means you got to have charismatic gifts, spirit, and you got to have the word. You got to have, you know, grounded in scripture, the word, spirit and truth, the truth, scripture. No, no, no. He's not talking about that. That's wrong thinking. The lady is asking, where do we worship? In this mountain or that mountain? She's asking for what territory, what place, what location do I worship God? In this mountain or that mountain? The answer was, the true worshipers, the time is coming, and now is, that the true worshipers will worship Him neither in that mountain or this mountain, but in another dimension, another realm, in the spirit and in the reality. No longer copies of the shadows, copies of the heavenly things. No longer temples with copies of the heavenly things, but the heavenly things themselves. No longer a veil that you have to go behind once a year, but a reality now, every day. The heavens have come. The heavenly reality has come. They who worship God and the Father seeketh such to worship Him must worship Him in the spiritual realm and in the reality of who He is and what He has done in Christ. You see that? That's what He's talking about. It's a territory. It's a realm. I live there. I walk there every day. It's becoming more and more real. You live there. You walk there every day. Because He is in you and you are in Him. You are now where He is. You are home. You are home now in Him, seated with Him in heavenly places. And in the same way you are always where He is, He is always where you are on earth. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Union has come. So as you walk the earth, a child of two worlds like He was, He told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, will it help you? He goes, Nicodemus, if I tell you earthly things, like a mother giving birth, and like the wind, if I use earthly things to try to describe this invisible reality that I'm bringing to earth, like being born again, like a baby being born, and like wind blowing that you don't see, but you see the effects. If I tell you these earthly things, Nicodemus, and you don't get it, would it help you, Nicodemus, if I would just ascend back, ascend into heaven before you where I am now? He said that. He said, would it help, Nicodemus, if I ascended in heaven before your eyes, in heaven where I am now? You see it? Oh, no wonder Peter could say to the man who was lame, he said, we don't have silver and gold, but such as we have and know we have, we give to you. Look on us. There's a powerful thing with the eyes. The apostles learned to call people to look into their eyes. He said, look on us. Look on our gaze. And he gazed at him. The power in the eyes. He looked on the eyes. And he said, such as we have in here, we give to you. Rise and walk. And power was transferred to him. And he walked. This reality is growing in you. It's becoming more and more real in you. You're not going crazy. It's not something off track. It is what Christianity is all about. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the reality of another world where you don't count your life dear to yourself anymore. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All that matters is Him. All that matters is Him. This thing is substantive, and I'll end here because I hear the children. Yeah. This thing is substantive. It's not just theology. It's not just a mindset. It's not just wishful thinking. Jesus was walking among the crowds and someone touched him with faith. He felt power go out of him, virtue, power, and turned around. He felt power go out of him. It's substantive, saints. It's experiential. Experiential. Right now, sitting in that chair, the presence of God is in your body. The presence of God is in your body. It's in your body. The Spirit puts to death the deeds of the body, Scripture says, as we walk in this other reality, because the mind is so renewed, it short-circuits the power of sin that is in your mortal body. That's what I really want to get into, but it's not enough time. But I want to talk about this power of sin that's in the mortal body, in the flesh. But you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. A circumcision has taken place. You've been cut away from the body of the flesh. And now this reality that is within you pulsates. The presence pulsates within you, renewing the mind. It's radiation. It's like radiation. It's like invisible. It's like oxygen. You don't see it, but you can't live without it. It's like it's in you. It came out of him. He felt it come out of him. He touched someone who touched him by faith. It's substantive. It's experiential. It's mystical. God is mystical. God is spirit. God is not a book. He's not a book. Jesus said, God is a spirit. He didn't say God is a book. He said God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in the reality, in the truth, in the other reality. Where he is, that the reality he has brought to us. You live under a beautiful sun. I don't care what the weather looks like. You live under a beautiful blue sky. In here. I don't care what's hitting you, what saddens you, what hurts you, what troubles you. You can go to him and lay your head on his chest as John did. You can just lay your head on his chest. He has made it so. He said this, if it were not so, I would have told you. I love that. Jesus said, if it wasn't this good, I would have told you. If it weren't so, I would have told you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what this world throws at you, you can go to him and lay your head on his chest. Don't say a word. Just let him hold you. Nothing can touch you there. Nothing. No evil can touch you there. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, and the evil one touches you not. Awesome. Lord, thank you so much. Help us see more and more of this reality. Oh, what manner of love is this that you would call us your children, that you would call us the sons and daughters of God. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for helping us see the reality, the truth. Father, I pray that the words spoken tonight by Morris, by Rick, by myself and by all who spoke, by Art, I pray like radiation that these seeds would bear much fruit. Great, great fruit. Renew the mind, Lord. Who can know the thoughts of God but the Spirit of God? And Father, you have given us your Spirit that we might know your thoughts. All your ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, are your ways, Father, above our ways. We are not those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Oh Lord, we know, we believe. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, 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 forever. Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Amen.